Would you stand with us this morning and join us in our call to worship? His name is wonderful. Hymn 203.
Bow for a word of prayer. Father, what an honor to be here today. We thank you. Father, you told us if we'd gather in your name that you'd be here with us, and we're so honored that you would do that, that you would be with us. We thank you for the day. I thank you for those that have gathered, and God, help us today as we sing our songs and lift up our prayers in all that we do. God, may you be honored. May your Son be lifted up. And God, according to your word, that all of us will be drawn close to him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Well, welcome to cold and flu season. We have a lot of folks who are down sick. Linda's out sick today, and Richard and I are sick. We're trying to stay away from each other. Just kind of bear that in mind today. A lot of fist bumping, a lot of less hugging today. As we go through our day, it is the last day for Lottie Moon Christmas offering. If you have not had a chance to give to that, please do. And as far as I know, we're as a regular a Sunday as we get around here. There is a misprint in your bulletin. We are having Awana's at 4:30 today, not at 6. So if you just make that change. We will not be having service New Year's Day on Wednesday, but our Awanas are planning to go skating that day, so make sure if you have kids in there that they know about that. Still a few Christmas cards that have not gotten picked up, so please, if you did not get yours, please go back and take a look. Same is also true with offering envelopes for next year. If you don't find a box back there with your name on it, if you'll let Sherry know, she'll be sure to get one of those to you. Now, we've also been announcing the Right Now Media. That's a video service that we subscribe to here at the church. 10,000 videos on there to help disciple you, and there's some great videos on there for kids. It's free for you to sign up, and there's a little box in your bulletin about how to do that. You can also do it on your phone, so for those of us that still travel 74 when you're stopped at all those traffic lights, you can watch a little video, so be good for you. Well, I don't think we have guests today, but maybe we have somebody here for the first time. David's got some information for you. Everything is yours to keep except the little white card. Please fill that out. Hand it to somebody before you leave. We'll give you a chance to greet each other in just a moment. Let's all stand, please, in honor of our guest.
For our fellowship chorus this morning, let's join together in singing the first verse in chorus, "The Joy to the World." Then we'll take a moment to greet those around us. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is hands that can actually shake hands.
He's already died.
Standing, take your hymnal, turn to 368, Here at Your Table, Lord, hymn 368.
I could run behind this offensive line. What do you think? That's right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the blessings of the week. And God, now as we come to return back a portion of our gifts, God, we're thankful for the ability to give. And we pray, God, that you would honor your word as you always do to bless those who give today. Use our offerings. Help us to be good stewards. Use our offerings for the preaching of your gospel around the world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We can get all three kids to come up, and it'd be good. got to. Yeah, come on. Good morning. How you guys? Can somebody tell me if you had a great Christmas or not? Yes, everybody had a good Christmas? Good, good. Well, you know, what happens this coming Wednesday? We start something. Skating? Oh, yeah, skating. Yeah, I want to skating. Yeah, I just forgot about that. We start a new year. Wednesday's the first day of January, yeah, of 2020, right? So can somebody tell me what this is? Let me put this down first. Somebody tell me what this is. Anybody know without me opening it? Kind of. Let me show you this. It's a calendar. Yes, a calendar. Well, look. So we got a calendar. And you see all the stuff written in it? Yeah, that's... This is the calendar I had for 2019, not 1999, 2019. This is the calendar, and it's just got all kind of stuff in it and things I planned and things I had to do, and it's just it was a busy year. Now, what is this?
It's a calendar.
It's a calendar. It sure is. But this was 2020. So take a look at this. If you see something different, there's nothing in it. So I'm either planning on not doing nothing, or I've got to fill it up, and it's going to look like that one at the end of the year. So what I'm trying to get to you guys is January the 1st, 2020 is Wednesday. That's the first day that we can start preparing and planning to do things for Jesus. Because Jesus over 2,000 years ago died on the cross that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So we got the whole year of 2020 to plan to do something for Jesus for other people. We can love on people. We can encourage people. We can hang out with people and enjoy their company. We can just help them do things they need to do. And we do it for Jesus. So we got all year to work for Jesus as long as he gives us that time. And we need to be grateful. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus most of all. Father God, we thank you for this church. Help us to be closer to you, Father God. Help us to grow together. May we just receive your blessings and your direction and your guidance for 2020, Father God, that we can just be obedient to you and your word. Help us to be that Christian that we need to be to go out and share Christ with others. We pray for these young kids, Father God, as they grow closer to you. Help us as adults to lead them that way and help us just to be there for one another and love on one another as you see fit. We just thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just take your hymnal once again. Turn to hymn 193, One Day. We'll sing the first and second verses only. First and second.
Jesus came for.
one of my favorite parts of the Christmas celebration is the time that we spend around the family table. According to the American College of Pediatricians, we're not doing that near as much as we used to. They did a survey and they said that the time that we spend around the family table has declined by more than 30% in the last three decades. Families with children under the age of 18, the majority of them only have family dinners together three or four times a week. One-third of the families with children 11 to 18-year-olds only have one or two meals together during the course of the week. And only about one-fourth have the traditional seven-day-a-week family meals. According to their survey, there are some real reasons, there are some benefits, if you will, for us gathering around the family table. It's the opportunity for us to reconnect after a busy day. I know when my girls were little, we heard on Focus on the Family that you could find out everything that you needed to know about your kid's day if you would ask them three questions. And so that became part of our family mealtime. You ask them, what made you glad today? What made you sad today? And what made you mad today? And if you were willing to ask those three questions every day, you could find out pretty much what had happened. They also, this family mealtime provides family structure. It's the one time in the day when the kids know, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm gonna meet with my family here at this time. And it's important for kids, especially for younger kids. And I think even more vital for teenagers to have that family mealtime together. It's also a time when the children can observe their parents learning to negotiate and interacting and solving problems together. Our kids learn to be adults by watching us be adults too in those situations. They've even linked families that have that family mealtime. The more frequently you have family mealtime, the grades are better. There's a decrease in alcohol abuse, and you have better relationships with your children. Excuse me. That time around the family table is important. And it's true in our spiritual walk as well. That's why you find in Acts chapter 2 when it talks about that early church was just getting started. And Luke writes that they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. It was there at those tables where they were discipled by the apostles. It's where their faith grew stronger. I thought about, and I'm sorry about this voice, guys. Sherry and I were in the car 4 hours yesterday. I don't think I spoke 10 words. Now you know why. I just really enjoyed last Sunday night, didn't you? We finished it here with the play, and it was pouring down rain, which probably explains this. And we all went over to the Life Center. We hung out. We laughed together and shared our goodies. It was wonderful just to spend time around the family table. It's little wonder that the last night before Jesus was to be crucified, He wanted to spend time around the table with his disciples. That's what we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 22. We're going to start with verse 14. When the hour had come, Jesus sat down with the 12 apostles, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I'll no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God comes. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table. Truly, the Son of Man goes as it's been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was that would do this thing. There also was a dispute among them as to which of them would be considered the greatest. Father, help us today as we study your word. Give me voice that I need. And God, use this time to draw us closer together, closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're just going to keep wetting this voice down, guys. I'm sorry. There's a song that's making its way on the radio right now by Zach Williams. I was hoping I had somebody lined up to sing the song today, and that kind of fell through. But it's called Bring It All to the Table. The words go like this. Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you and a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. All your fear, all your sorrow, all your sadness. There's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. But through the cross, you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. All your trials, all your burdens, all your worries. There's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. As I was thinking about our time around the communion table this morning, I was kind of comparing it to our family time around the Christmas table. And I thought about three words that come to mind. The first word is delightful. I love when our family gets together around the table. There's always a lot of funny stories to share. Sometimes it's a faded memory that the story is different depending on which person is telling the story. You guys have similar things, I'm sure. Sometimes there's a joke that somebody loves to tell, and even though you've heard it 100 times, it's still fun to hear it again. Sometimes it's the rehash of a family event. That's not funny to anybody else, but it's funny in your family. And I love it. It's just delightful. I think that's why when Jesus met with his disciples here, he said it with desire. I've looked forward to having this time with you. Can you imagine their discussion around that table? Maybe they're talking about how Philip almost passed out when Lazarus came out of the tomb. Maybe they're laughing about Peter sinking as he walked on the water. Maybe they're telling stories about that day they fed the whole crowd, the 5,000, with just a little boy's lunch. I'm sure they had a lot of delightful stories that they're telling around the table. The second word I thought about was defining. See, as we're sitting around our family table, we're passing on to our children those values that we have. If you'd been around our Christmas table, you would have heard us telling stories about mission trips and about serving. You would have heard us telling about times when we gave to people and when people gave to us. It's letting our children, our grandchildren know these are the values. These are the things that are important in our family. Jesus does the same thing here, and beginning in chapter 24, he tells them that the way to go up in this family is to go down. You must learn to be a servant. He's telling them the qualities of the family of God are humility and service and love. By the way, those values have not changed. Again, I apologize. In our families, we always have one or two family members that don't exemplify the family values, right? We call them the black sheep of the family, or they just don't carry on the family values. And that's true in the family of God, too. We have folks that don't love like they ought to love, that don't serve like they ought to serve, that aren't humble like they ought to be humble. Here on this night, when Jesus is teaching them about humility, you notice in verse 24 there arose a dispute about which one of them was the greatest. That was when Jesus started washing their feet. You realize that Judas was still in the room. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Even though Judas was about to go out and betray him, Jesus washed his feet. If he's going to love Judas like that, if he's going to serve Judas like that, if he's going to humble himself to Judas like that, how do we have the gall to choose who we're going to love, to choose who we're going to serve? These family values are defining moments around the table. The third word that I thought about was difficult, because sometimes we have difficult discussions around the family table. I remember several of those. I remember the discussion around the table when my father left. We had to have serious conversations with my mom and how are we going to make it and what are we going to do. I remember having those discussions when my daughters were teenagers and they're starting to drift off in the wrong way. I remember having those discussions when with ministry, when we're trying to make ministry decisions. That night, Jesus is having some difficult discussions. If you continue to read, you'll find he says to Peter, Peter, Satan wanted to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And you're going to fail, Peter, but you're gonna come back. And once you come back, I want you to be an encouragement to others. He tells them about the Holy Spirit who's going to come. He said, it's necessary for me to go away, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit can't come. And then he shows them a brighter future. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These were difficult things for them to hear, but necessary. I love the family table. I love doing communion together. We can bring it all here. All of our disappointments, all of our failures, all of our questions, we bring them to the table. There's where we get our questions answered. It's where we get our hope lifted up. It's where we get encouragement. We come today, he told us, this is a new covenant between me and you. For those of you that understand, it was a marriage proposal. He was committing himself for us to be the bride of Christ. And as we come to the table today, we remember him and the sacrifice that he made for us. That night, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. Father, we thank you for the broken body of Jesus Christ. Your prophet Isaiah told us that he was wounded for our transgressions, broken for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed. God, without the broken body of Christ, none of us would be family. We thank you, Father, for your willingness to send your son. To watch him die, how horrible that must have been. But you were willing to do that because of your great love for us. As we share his broken body this morning, may we be reminded of the price that was paid for our salvation. In Jesus' name. For one of our Christmas meals this week. Oh, my voice came back. For one of our Christmas meals this week, we decided just to have sandwiches. We had turkey and ham and stuff. And Christy and I went to go buy the bread. It's amazing how many different kinds of bread there are on the bread aisle, isn't it? I find that true in the body of Christ as well. I've been to a black Pentecostal church where they're running in the aisles and getting slain in the spirit. And it's pretty exciting there. I've been to the Episcopal church where it's high church and you stand and kneel and sit, and I never know what to do where. And God has made Jesus accessible to all of us no matter what. I'm looking forward in January. I'm going to the Holy Land with some Church of God folks, and who knows what I'll be like when I get back. But Jesus came to be the living bread. The manna they ate in the wilderness, he said, you ate that bread and you died, but he who eats of this bread will live forever. After that, he took the cup and he blessed it. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Your word tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And God, we can't imagine what it would be like not to have our sins forgiven. But God, you came. You didn't want us to live that way, so you came so that we could be forgiven. And we thank you for that. As we come today to remember the price, remember what you did for our salvation, God, we honor you. We lift up your Son, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. We had kind of an interesting thing happen around here this morning. Tony had texted me last night to see if we had plenty of communion supplies. And we did communion Christmas Eve, and I said, oh, yeah, there's plenty. There's two boxes of cups and bread back there. What I didn't know is that those boxes back there were empty of cups. And so we called some pastors in the area and called in a few favors, and we're able to get some cups here. You know, the blood of Christ is available to everybody. He's looking for vessels, looking for people to be saved, to pour his life, to pour himself into them. I'm hoping that in 2020 that's going to be our emphasis. Let's find those folks that don't yet know Jesus to tell them. Our world is getting worse and worse. We had a shooting last night at Concord Mills. I don't know if you saw the news, but a little 13-year-old girl is not with us anymore. The world needs Christ. Folks need to know about Jesus, and it's our job to tell them. And there are folks in this neighborhood within walking distance of this church that need to know Jesus. And it's our job to tell them. I'm hoping we'll commit ourselves to sharing him more in the coming year. on that night, they sang a hymn together. Richard told me he might duck out, so we're going to stand and we'll sing one verse of Blessed Be the Tie that binds. I love to greet you guys at the door, but it's better for you that I don't do that today. So we're going to have this as our benediction.